you'll take your Bibles here, we do not have a slideshow for you tonight, and that's intentional. The point here for tonight is we're going to kind of deviate off of the study that we've been doing in Ecclesiastes. I want you to take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at some verses there, and then we're going to look in 1 Corinthians, and then we'll end the service and have choir practice. By the way, really thankful for the choir. They did a wonderful job on Sunday. That was a new type of music and it was a little difficult, but they really did a good job, and I'm thankful that I get to be a part of that group. And I'm really glad, too, that there's music out there that praises the Lord. There's a lot of junk out there right now, guys, that when you listen to it, even the website that I bought this music from, you listen to it and you're like, what are we saying? You know, there's some things where I'm just like, can we just say believe? Can we fit that word in there? But it doesn't rhyme with a lot of other words. I'm serious. That's like, and it just doesn't get used. But we got four new songs we're going to start working on. We're excited about that. Excited that those things bring honor to the Lord. But I want to talk about here the permanence of rewards, because two reasons, really. We just got through going through some really bleak stuff in Ecclesiastes. If you remember, it was pretty much anything that you can do, anything that you can build, anything that you can avoid of yourself, you're going to die. It's all kind of insignificant, and it's very dark. And you think to yourself, well, what is there actually to look forward to if everything that we do is just useless? It's insignificant. Well, there's a teaching in the New Testament that is the other side of the coin. And sometimes people, there's actually been a little bit of a discussion about whether Ecclesiastes is an inspired book, because people don't understand the context. When Solomon is talking about wisdom there, he's not talking about godly wisdom. He's talking about man's wisdom, and we're going to get into a little bit more of that specifically next week when we look at chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes. But as I was teaching this and as I was preparing this, I thought it's very important to teach about the rewards that we can earn while we work here on earth that God is faithful to give us when we see him. So if you look in chapter 6 of Matthew, look there in verse 19, Jesus is teaching here, and he's talking about laying up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Verse 19 says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." You should underline that, and you should tie it to the verse right before. There is a comparison here. Jesus, the master teacher, making things very clear to those who want to hear. He's saying you can set yourself up for success here on earth, and these are the consequences of what you set up for those things here on earth, or you can set yourself up for success and reward in heaven. And there's a difference here. There's two categories that are brought in, thieves and moths. Okay, it's basically saying your stuff is either going to be stolen from you or it's going to just be corroded over time. It's funny, when you're talking about the used car market right now, everything is very inflated. And the new cars are not getting any cheaper, and the used cars are getting more and more expensive. And the more that you look, the more that you see those price gaps are staying the same, but everything is just increasing. Okay, whether it's a new car or a used car, that's going to have to be replaced at some point. Even if you let that new car, if you were to have the new car delivered to your house by Carvana, and you let it sit inside your garage for the entire life of the time you're going to own that vehicle, when you go to start up that car and it has not been maintained for years and years and years, you have a problem. You have a major problem. Even if you were to cover it or you were to use windshield protectors to keep the car from getting too hot, that car is just going to continue to depreciate in value and in quality, unless you own a 2010 Ford Ranger like the one parked out front. Just kidding. Just kidding. That car has plenty of problems. I just haven't discovered it yet. Amen? But everything that we purchase and everything that we put our time into, it's going to disappear. It's not going to have value anymore. It's going to be replaced. I mean, you look at the technology today, one kind of technology comes up and it's going to be dominant for a while, and then new technology is innovated and it's replaced. And if it's not replaced because it's old and outdated, guess what? Stuff gets stolen. And I'm not talking about you're going to be robbed every day, but one of these days you're going to die. And all the stuff that was yours is no longer yours, it's somebody else's. The government likes to come in and take their half, and then everybody else gets what you have. But the important thing to recognize here is the permanence is not in the earthly rewards. The permanence is in the heavenly rewards. And you can't serve God unless you are saved, born again. So now that you've received Christ as your Savior, you've put your faith in Him, outside of your eternal life, you have an opportunity to work for the Lord. God wants to reward you for the things that you do. This is a very foreign concept for some people. Remember we were talking about a couple of weeks ago about that whole crowd with the Galatian error? And I hope you guys remember that. But one of the things that they really kind of camp out on is our reward is Christ. And to that I say amen. But they say there's no opportunity for you to have rewards given to yourself, because otherwise that would make you higher than somebody else. That's a flaw, especially because this is what Jesus is teaching here, is that we can lay up treasure for ourselves in heaven. The flaw with that argument that was just made is that it takes into what factor does that account for? Human envy, human jealousy. That when I get to heaven, I'm not going to look at Warren and go, I'm so jealous of Warren. He has so much more than me. I wish that I had. I'm not going to have that position, because that position, that ability right there is a part of my sin nature, and I'm not going to be with my sin nature anymore. That's going to be gone, gone, gone. Do you understand? So people can be rewarded individually in heaven more than another person, and there's still no comparison game going on. But it's very important to understand that you will be rewarded for your work. It's okay to be motivated that way. It's not in any kind of motivation for yourself, but as an attitude of thankfulness for what God has done, you can commit your works to the Lord, and you'll be rewarded for it. This is something that, in light of what the world offers, is completely foreign. It's not understood. Well, you got to have insurance for your eternal rewards, don't you know? No. What is my insurance for my eternal rewards? Christ died for me. That's it. He offers to all men that ask liberally. He upbraideth not. Interesting concept there. We don't see that in the world. Look what it says in verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We can understand by going back to what we taught last week. If we commit ourselves to worldly wisdom, to worldly rewards and gain, then that's all that we'll ever have, is what we accomplish, and that will go away, we will die, or it'll all turn out to be insignificant in the end. But there's a concept here that's taught about in the kingdom, we're going to have rewards, and God will reward us that way. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where we can actually see this. I had a discussion with a guy a couple of months ago. He wanted to have a discussion with me because he read a YouTube video. He didn't read a YouTube video, he watched one. And he was talking, I was talking about something. I don't remember what it was, but this guy was a Calvinist and he disagreed with me and he wanted to use Romans chapter 9. And when we got to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I talked to him about the importance of serving the Lord and how the believer who is not faithful and is unprofitable will be saved from fire, he had no defense for this passage here, because this passage teaches very clearly that the believer is saved from any kind of judgment upon their eternal life because they're in Christ. But the first part of this verse teaches us quite a few things about the permanence of eternal rewards. Look what it says here. Verse 12, chapter 3 and verse 12 of 1 Corinthians. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hand, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day, I have that circled, and it says the judgment seat of Christ shall declare it, for it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So the individual is not on trial by fire, their works are on trial. But back up for a moment. We're going to break these few verses down section by section because it's important. Look at the statement in verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, That is tied directly back to what is said in verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, look up here. We can only be talking about believers here. Because the unbeliever is on the unsolid foundation. The unbeliever is the one who builds his home on sand or builds it on dirt, and it's not secure. And when the wind and the rain comes, it passes away. We're built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. So we're not talking about an unbeliever standing before God and all their profitable and unprofitable works being judged. That judgment for the unbeliever is when? At the end of the thousand-year reign, before the new heaven and the new earth, before they're all cast into hell, they will be judged at the great white throne judgment. Well, they will have to give an account, and they'll receive of their works, and they will be eternally damned to hell, where the smoke of their torment ascendeth forever. We're not talking about unbelievers here. We're talking about believers. So then we see the second thing in verse 12 is there are two categories and six different building materials. The first category I would call is the profitable category based on what is described in James chapter 2. But gold, silver, and precious stones, these are profitable works. Everyone, let me say this too. Everyone wants to ask pastors and teachers, give me a specific list of what those works are. And here's my answer. If you want to use the building materials of gold, silver, and precious stones, then you will look to produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Period. And that can come in many different ways. There's not just a set path. Okay, here's 10. Go repeat these. It can be different for everybody. That's why I contend that there has to be a judgment seat of Christ, because Christ is going to righteously and correctly reward the believer for what they did. And what they didn't do is unprofitable, and that's wood, hay, and stubble. But there's not a master list out there. You just have to be found faithful with what is put in front of you. And that's hard, and people don't like that. Do you know why people don't like that response? Because the responsibility comes right back to you. Well, I didn't know what the works were because my pastor didn't tell me. It's not going to work that way. The second category here has the remaining three building materials, which is wood, hay, and stubble. This is when we've wasted time, not done the things that we're supposed to do. It's going to be judged there. And then verse 14, we've already read verse 13. Going into verse 14, if any man's work abide, if it remains, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. I do not believe that reward is here's Jesus. We already received that reward. You got that the moment that you put your faith in Christ. What that reward looked like is a nice, solid, concrete slab to build upon. Now there's a specific set of rewards here that you receive for what you did with that foundation. I hope this is being made clear, because a lot of people want to look at this passage and they want to make it something that it's not. There is going to be individual rewards. Now, that does not conflict with the passage where it says, where there is neither Jew nor Gentile, nor bond nor free, nor male or female. That's in a different context. Paul is writing here to say, what you do will be rewarded. How is this different from what Kohaleth, the preacher, Solomon, taught in Ecclesiastes? It's different in that it's not under the sun. It's not under the sun. Lay up for yourselves treasure in where? Heaven, where there's no moth that breaks into that place. There's no thief that goes in there to steal. The Lord keeps an eye over it. He gives to you abundantly from His mercy and from His riches, which are infinite, and you will be rewarded accordingly. There's nothing like that here on earth. Nothing. I told you that illustration about the couch that I put in the U-Haul. They told me it is air-controlled, AC-controlled, it's Loctite. Well, some rat got in there and messed up our couch. Even U-Haul could not keep it safe. By the way, they didn't want to answer my call when I called them about that. That's okay. We threw it away anyway, I guess. Look at verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, The second category, wood, hay, and stubble, with the final three building materials. He shall suffer loss. Oh, this must mean loss of his eternal life. See, there is a category. No. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. What is the thing that he will lose? The rewards. Follow me here. There's no believer that will be seen at the judgment seat of Christ and hear this: you lost Jesus. See, the shoe has to fit in order for us to wear it. So we can't make a statement like, well, Jesus Christ is our only reward. That there's individual rewards here because there's a believer who's going to suffer loss. If you think that believer is going to suffer loss of salvation, then you must teach. You have to teach work salvation. There's no question about it. Because why else would you lose it? You didn't work hard enough for it. You had the wrong building materials. So on and so forth. Now look at the end of this book in chapter 15. I like this one. This one's my favorite one because it uses the same word that we saw back there in Ecclesiastes 1. Remember we did a very light study on that Hebrew word vain, hebel, and we came to the conclusion, as the definition rightfully says, insignificant, not meaningless, it has use temporarily, right? I think the men's breakfast is this week. We're going to do some labor, okay? We want to rake out the kids' playground. There's a bunch of wood in this room that we're going to take and put in the dumpster. Okay, that wood is probably not going to reanimate itself and walk itself back into the room, right? But guess what's going to happen with that area that we rake? It's going to need raking again. You know what I'm saying? There's going to come a time where it's like, we gotta keep that up. So to some extent, it's temporary. It's insignificant in a whole. We can't make sure this property needs no more maintenance at all. That's silly to think of. But the word vain that's used here is to categorize what our work is not going to be like when we work for the Lord. Look what it says in verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Therefore, in light of everything that was said earlier in this passage, which, by the way, you want a great study on the importance of the resurrection, read 1 Corinthians 15. There's some fantastic stuff in there. I think we spent 4 weeks on that in our 1 Corinthians study. But in verse 58, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Be standing and unmovable, always what? Abounding. This is growth. This is forward progress. In what? The work of the Lord. Why would the believer be encouraged to work if they already have received all of their rewards at salvation? Do you understand the case that I'm trying to make here? As you work for the Lord, He will reward you accordingly, period. Don't quit. The person who does not have the Lord, you're raking the same leaves over and over and over. You're just on a maniacal cycle. Nothing is going to matter. It's going to be clean and then it'll get dirty and you're going to die and it'll get dirtier. And your kids will have to clean. Everything is terrible. That's what the world has to offer. That's what worldly wisdom has to offer. Temporary success. Ultimate failure. But what is offered here for the believer is, as you move forward in your work for the Lord, for as much as you know, these believers here in Corinth, as rotten as they were, and I don't say that as a look at me, I'm the best. As a matter of fact, we're not careful. We'll see a lot of similarities between the Corinth church and the church here. But what is said is, they already know this. Your labor is not in vain. It's not insignificant. It's not insignificant. Is there a period there? Does the verse stop or is there another set of words? In the Lord. That's where the success is. You get placed, being found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. We're found in Him, not of any of good works of myself. So if you really want to expedite your growth, really put away some stocks and bonds, can I say, in the Lord? Take yourself out of the equation. Humble yourself before Him and serve Him. Hey, the Lord will bless you richly as a result of that. Go to Philippians chapter 3. That verse that I just partially quoted there is good for us to see exactly how Paul viewed himself in Philippians chapter 3. Look in verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things, all my worldly accomplishments, all the things that I was born into, I count them all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Paul's actually the better example of a believer who's not lost only how they view themselves previously, but he lost a lot of physical things. Sleep, hunger, nourishment. He was beaten. He was stoned. He survived shipwreck. He was abandoned. He was arrested. The man literally lost his life for the gospel. He doesn't ever view it as a loss, though. Why? Because of verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God, by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Beautiful language here that we see that wonderfully describes the attitude of the believer. See, the lost man, he can't have this attitude. He's got no assurance. People who study and come to the conclusion that they're an atheist, I'm not saying this to be rude, they're not happy people. People who are working for salvation, when they get older, they are crippled with fear because they don't know if they've ever done enough because there's no example for them to follow here on earth. And the only example that they're presented with is the perfect Jesus Christ, and they know they can't attain that. If you recall the man that I talked to about 3 weeks ago now, he's been a Catholic all his life, has been going to Mass faithfully every day for 65 years, and he's laying in bed 90 years old, wondering, where am I going to go? Where am I going to go? Where am I going to go? That's what the world and its religious system offers. Eternal rewards are just that. They are forever. And you can earn them because you're in Christ. And there's not a problem with that. I think it would be unrighteous for God not to reward us for our labor. He asks us to go do it. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. For some reason, when this verse was on a memory verse sheet in camp, it was so hard to memorize, but now it's ingrained in the walls of my brain forever. 1268 is the page number. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. But as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. God here, now contextually, follow me here for a moment. Direct interpretation here is Paul is writing and he's saying, I've been put in trust with the gospel. But it is also put onto you and I as a responsibility. Here's why I know this. The gospel didn't stop with Paul. As a matter of fact, one of the more unique studies that you see from the book of Acts is the selling of possessions. Not selling of possessions so that Paul would come by and sprinkle them with some sort of water for $19.99 and push them over in some sort of wonderful display mentioned here. As a matter of fact, what's being mentioned here is the selling of possessions happened because they wanted to get together
and get the gospel out more than it already was. What does that teach? That these people received the same kind of calling that Paul did. Go out. Go teach it so people can hear. Look what it says at the end of the verse. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God. So even as we go and share the gospel, this is pleasing to God, which trieth our hearts. Go to Romans chapter 10, and this is where we'll close. Romans chapter 10. Look at verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Oh, well, Jesse, don't you know, I just sell insurance. I'm not a preacher. This is not talking about the position within a local church. This is a proclaimer, one who goes out and says, that is us. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So very clearly here, the expectation is for us to get these spiritual feet moving towards the gospel. Period. And you're going to be rewarded for that. I firmly believe if the only thing that you can learn how to do in your Christian life is soul win, it can be the best thing that you know how to do. You miss out on so much, like learning how to pray, learning how to see the Lord work. But if you can learn how to win a soul to Christ, how powerful that is. And how many people will be blessed because of it. Look at the faithfulness of the apostles. Peter. I don't know him. Blankety blank blank blank. I don't know him. And then when the Lord comes back, says, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? He didn't say to Peter, you messed it up. You're useless now. He became one of the strongest examples of salvation by faith that we can see in the scripture. He was healing people at the gate called Beautiful in Acts chapter 4. These men were going and having their bodies beaten by the council and then going right back out and teaching the gospel. So then they threw him in jail. And guess what? God took the bars off. Well, we didn't see that coming. Well, you saw it. The gospel going out was so important. And I believe the more that you share it, that's real gold. That's real silver. That is real precious stones. And it's unlike anything that this world will ever do. You can close your Bibles. I grew up in a Baptist church and I saw a lot of stuff on Sunday mornings. Okay? First of all, growing up in a Baptist church, it was a shock to be here at Calvary. Let me just say that. Because we looked at not like two verses, we looked at two books of verses. We looked at two different sections. I thought the Old Testament and the New Testament were not supposed to be mixed. Well, here's Dr. Lindstrom going in Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22 and then showing you what Jesus said on the cross. It was mind-blowing to me. But a lot of what was happening in the Baptist church, and I'm not saying every Baptist church is like this, but a lot of what was happening in the Baptist church that I grew up was a lot of this. A lot of this. Especially the men. Oh, brother this. Oh, brother that. Praise God. Yeah, that person's so good. Then I actually went on a Thursday visitation and I saw the things that they said were a person getting saved. And it was not what I learned here at Calvary. And it was not what is taught in the Bible. The word believe is not even mentioned. It's repeat after me. Ask the Lord into your heart. I repent from all my sin. That's not salvation. But there's a lot of people that think it didn't actually matter unless somebody saw it. It didn't actually matter unless the pastor said my name from the pulpit. And because he didn't say my name from the pulpit, then I'm not going to be at that church because I should be rewarded. If you're looking for a reward from the praise of men and you get it, you got it. And that's all you're going to get. If the intent is for self, you'll get it. I don't think you'll be rewarded for that. And we have to be careful that we don't slip into a under the sun mindset when we're serving the one who made the sun. Amen. We get to serve him, and he will be faithful to reward you. You keep going, you keep standing strong, and you keep moving forward and growing and growing. Your work will abound in the Lord. And that is not a selfish, prideful thing to say. God said that. Yes, Jesus Christ is our reward, and we have him forever. And the rewards that we receive of him because of the work that we've done, we possess those too for eternity. And I don't think in heaven there's going to be a bunch of people hanging their head in shame as believers. I don't believe that. I think in heaven, I know that we'll know people, and there's verses that teach that. But can I just say this very plainly? I'm only going to want to see Jesus. Okay? I want to be with him. And that's all that's going to matter. I've got him. But because of that, I don't want to waste the time that I have here and do it for me. I want to serve him. Who else? Who else? So glad that the scripture clearly teaches this stuff. As a young kid, you hear this and you're motivated. Like, I can do something for the one who did something for me. Yes, I want to do that. This hand to represent you and me, and my wallet to represent sin. This hand represents Jesus Christ. Here's the plan of salvation laid out. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We're all born with sin. Sin separates us from God. You have to be perfect to get to heaven. The payment for sin is death. Jesus took your place. There's no amount of good works that you could ever do to save you. None. Not of works lest any man should boast. That's why when Jesus died, he said that last statement, three words in our language, one word in the language that he spoke. It is finished. It's an accounting term. It's all taken care of, folks. It's gone. When you put your faith in him, that payment is applied to your account. You've got a solid foundation, and now you can go build and do good works. Not to keep paying the lease. There's no lease to pay. He did it all. But so that he can reward you and so that you can be effective as you reach other people. Isn't that good? I think that's good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father, I pray for those who could be possibly watching online tonight and are not sure of where they're going to go when they die. Lord, the scripture teaches that today is a day of salvation. I pray that right where they're sitting, they would put their faith in Jesus Christ's finished work on the cross, his burial and his resurrection for eternal life. Pray, Lord, for all of us in here. We know that you will reward us. We know that those rewards last forever. But Lord, maybe some of us have a little bit of discouragement in our mouths. We have a tinge of bitterness. I pray, Lord, we can set those things aside, learn to forgive, get into a right fellowship with you, and continually serve you with our lives. Give us strength, Lord. We are weak. But we know that you are strong through our weakness. In Jesus' name we pray.